This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
So the Tampa Bay Rays have now lost five games in a row, and they just got swept at home by the Philadelphia Phillies. So let's go down there and make another statement on top of that. How about that? And that series will begin tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, and then we're off to the All-Star game, where it's the Braves against the American League. Let's weigh in on that at 404-726-0929. Do you think the Tampa series is important? By the way, with this loss, Tampa is three games behind the Braves, so... I mean, the Braves are going to go into the break. Either at the very worst, they would be even with the best record in the game. And, of course, they get one, and they're going to have the best record. Let's go down there and get two or three, huh? How about that? Let's start to put them in the rearview mirror, like we've done with everybody else. Marcus in Ellenwood, meanwhile, weighs in on my Twitter. He is at Marcus_Camp. And about 10 minutes ago, he said to me, there wasn't a plethora of top-flight free agents in the NBA in this NBA offseason, which he's right, there wasn't. I made that point myself. Go get who? I mean, guys, the NBA is not really a free agent market anymore. I mean, you could get guys around the edges. The Fred Van Fleets of the world are sort of rare. Really, it's a trade league. So I agree with him on that. And then his next line is, why are you so patient with the Falcons, yet you want a new head coach and a new GM for the Hawks to hit the ground running? I don't know that he's a new GM. He's had a full year under his belt. I'm not really patient with the Falcons, Marcus. I had no choice. They were stuck in cap purgatory in hell. I mean, there was nothing we could do. We couldn't go out and get anybody. I mean, we were signing guys that were kicked off other teams. And you're going, okay, you know. I mean, for crying out loud, our quarterback was the noodle-armed quitter. I mean, oh, my God. You know, so, and then a third-round draft pick. So I had no choice but to be patient, and that's why I was so impressed with what Arthur Smith was able to do over the last couple of years with the talent that he had on board. Now, By the way, Marcus, I am not, as I said in my reply to you, patient anymore. The Falcons need to win now. Because now we're year three, we're in the system. We understand what they want to do. We've got talent. Again, there's a lot of talent. This offense could actually be pretty darn good. This offense could be really good. So I'm not patient with that anymore. And why am I, as for the Hawks, he says, you want a new head coach, a new GM for the Hawks to hit the ground running? Yeah, because we are going to run the risk of, and we're getting close as fans to witnessing kind of the wasting of the Trae Young era. You got two, maybe 3 years left. And you're going to have to take some big steps now Because if you made a move now, let's say, just for this, Marcus, for the sake of argument here, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I mean, it may just be that DeJounte was signed because DeJounte was signed, and they needed to get rid of John Collins' money to give it to DeJounte. Because they don't want to spend money into the cap, into the luxury tax, unless it's for a really good reason. Now, they may have a really good reason because they're going to kind of eyeball next year at the end of this season for somebody, a big-name player that they think they can get at the end of this season, and then you can take those two guys and a big-name player, and now we got something working here. Okay, that's fine, but you know, and that's the patience part of this. But at the same time, I'm not really sure that I understand the move for DeJounte Murray to the extent that it didn't work last year. And we gave it a full year, and it just didn't work. Now, Quinn Snyder may have another plan for this to work, and I'm fine with that, Marcus, but he's going to have to show me. And so if we make no other moves here, and we're planning on starting Sadiq Bey, again, look at your bench. You're taking Sadiq off that bench then. That bench is pretty thin as it is, even with Sadiq. Well, who's on your bench? Sadiq, Bogey, Okongwu, right? I mean, those are the big guns. And then you've got some guys that are young, and you hope that they can play now in AJ and Jalen Johnson and Kobe Bufkin. You hope, unless they look at Jalen Johnson as being a starter, and he's, you know, Quinn Snyder saying, look, Jalen Johnson's every bit as good as John Collins. He may be better. Okay, that's fine. But again, I want to be moving forward here with this franchise in terms of, this franchise doesn't need to make a move here, okay, guys and gals? The Atlanta Hawks need to make a leap. You know, there has to be a leap here. We have to go from 41-41 to 58 wins. We've got to take a huge leap you got to get right up there into the stratosphere here. Because otherwise, if you're not playing for the NBA world title with Trae Young, what are you playing for? If you're not going to play for world titles with Trae Young, what are you playing for? At best, we'd be back in the days of Josh and Joe, where we would win a lot of games. Josh and Joe won us a lot of games. We were never threatening to win the world title. We won a lot of games, went to the playoffs a number of times, right? Anybody remember Josh and Joe? I mean, we won a whole bunch. Were we ever going to do anything in the playoffs? No, it would be, oh, we won 50. Wah, wah, wah. I mean, it was every year. So I just don't want to waste the Trae Young era by not making a big, bold move. Man. 404-726-0929 as we talk to you about the Hawks and the Braves. So, Day-Day, you've been listening to the past 3 hours here. You saw the news break there in the last part of Dukes and Bell today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious because you know this stuff. You follow it. You've been around a long time. What do you make of all this?
You know, I like it. I think essentially it goes to the point that's been made by, you know, by yourself and several of the callers that I think this is Quinn Snyder saying, you know, look, let me work with these guys and let's see what we can do. But at the same time, you know, that contract is tradable. And you mentioned that earlier in the show when you first started. So here's the deal. If we get, I don't know, if we get, you know, kind of close to the break, right, and things aren't really going the way that, you know, the Hawks, you know, whoever, wrestler, brass, Snyder, whoever, you know, felt that things should be going, then, you know, now you start looking at, okay, do we trade? And then if DeJounte is part of a trade, it's a tradable contract, to your point. So I think they're rolling out with this squad. I think if any other moves are made, it's going to be very minimal just to add to the back end of the bench. But I believe the starting five that we're going to see when the season kicks off is going to be Trey, DJ, Sadiq Bey, Clint and DeAndre Hunter. I think that's going to be your starting five.
Yeah, okay, your bench just got worse. For a team whose bench is not great to begin with, you know what I mean?
That's where, you know, depending on what's left now, maybe there's probably some solid bench players that you can go out, and that maybe that's what they're going to do. The moves that we're going to make are probably going to be not splashy moves to be in that starting five, but moves to shore up the bench. Because to your point, that's what's needed. If that's your starting five right there, then you need a couple of names coming off that bench besides Bogey.
Right, and young players. Both right. You know, Kongwu and a bunch of young guys.
Right, which so, I like. I like Double O. I think Double O is coming along.
I do too. No, I like him. He's just, I don't think he's ever going to be a starter in the NBA.
I mean, I think that's because of his size, as far as being a five.
No, that's because he can't shoot from beyond 3 feet. Okay? You can't shoot from beyond 3 feet, you don't start in the NBA.
Well, he's young. That could develop.
Well, yeah, okay.
That could still develop. Better.
So and again, I've said, and I want to be clear about this, that I would love nothing more than to be in, you know, next February, being sitting around on the radio going, oh my God, do you believe these two guys, DeJounte and Trey, and have somebody call up and say, you didn't want these guys? And no, I didn't. I can't be clear on this. I didn't say I didn't want them. I said, you've got to show me, and now you are. And so you didn't have any faith in Quinn Snyder. No, I have faith in Quinn Snyder. I'll give him faith. I'll give him all the faith he wants, but he's got to show me. I believe that Quinn Snyder can coach, and he's just got to prove it. So if this is the end of it, you know, except for maybe going out and getting, I don't know, some, you know, you pluck somebody to put on the bench, if this is the end of it, then I need to see 50 wins plus. I need to see, and then in the offseason of next year, I need to see a big move, because I can't just go, go, you know what? We got to 50 wins. We won our first round. We're good. No. You know, Tony Russler came in, and I took the man at his word. He said he wants to win multiple NBA championships. Well, if you want to do that, you know what it takes, right? I saw one thing here, Day-Day, that had a projection that the Hawks, with their two picks next year in the first round, were going to take a big man out of the Big Ten, and then with their second pick in the first round, they were going to take Bronny James. And I thought, is that the plan? Is that the plan to draft Bronny James and hope that LeBron follows? Is that the plan?
I don't think that's happened.
is that the plan? Hey, we drafted your kid. Come play for us. Okay. I think he will. If Bronny gets drafted, if he goes into the draft and gets drafted, I think LeBron will follow his son. Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely Bronny's will. Drafted. Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're planning on that being you, look, you know, here's a sad fact. If you believe that LeBron James is going to follow his kid, I don't care how good Bronny James is, he's going to be a top five pick. There are going to be a lot of guys in the NBA going, oh, my God. Really? That dude's a top five? No. You know, that dude has... He's got to come along, okay? You're not drafting Bronny. You're drafting LeBron for a year, okay? That's what you're drafting, and I can't blame anybody for doing that. Not one person. I mentioned earlier, and this is, you know, one of the things that I want all of you out there to understand, and all the fans, that the Hawks, and I honor the fact that they are very tight-lipped and they are a closed ship over there at State Farm Arena. And I think that probably suits them well. But from our perspective, and I'm not talking about talk show hosts, I'm talking about all of us, it can be somewhat frustrating because they don't clue us in on what they're seeing. You know, we don't really have a sense here. You know, like they make this move with DeJounte Murray, and I'm forced to go on the radio and start asking why. You know, is it because they wanted to sign him to trade him? Is it because... could Quinn Snyder come out after the signing and say, it is my firm belief that I could turn DeJounte and Trey into the best backcourt in the East? Okay, well, if that's your belief, then all right, I'm good with that. Tell me that. Tell me something I can hold you to. If that's the case, then fine, I'm good with it. Just let me know. But they haven't said anything. And I know it fell, and then it came at 6:20 at night, which that was also kind of odd. Am I wrong about that, Day-Day? I mean, 6:20 on a Thursday night? That's when it drops?
Yeah, I mean, but you know, you got to think maybe with Summer League, you know, starting, you know, and a lot of them out west, you know, that could have something to do with it. Just get it out the way, fine. You know, get it out the way before we get started out that way. And, you know, I mean, look, I think that's it. I think the timing of how it, you know, to your point about it being a 6:20 on a Thursday, I think they're saying, all right, this is it. Let's roll. We're done.
And they may. And again, if they do, that's fine. But I've got to see vast improvement. I have to see vast improvement in the offense and the way that these two players are used in the backcourt. I've got to see them mature in year two under Quinn Snyder into the best backcourt in the East. And I've got to see a team that plays overall better basketball than the team did last year. And you can make a case, by the way, that dumping John Collins' contract is addition by subtraction. You can make that case. And I said so when they dumped it. I said, you can make the case that just getting rid of him is a good thing because he was kind of like, you know, not really helping. He was more in the way than anything else, and they felt they had to play him because they were paying him so much money. I don't know. This is just, I think the whole thing is fascinating. I wish I had a more of a, you know, I was clued in more, which is why I'm talking to you guys. And a lot of times it's not that I'm arguing with you. I'm arguing with myself in my head. Going, okay, I can't figure this out. They're not bringing us in. They are not a transparent organization. And again, like I say, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because, you know. But at the same time, because they aren't, then that leaves us to do what we do, which is to speculate a lot. And so we've been speculating. All right. Earlier tonight, I had a chance to talk with maybe the most legendary sportscaster in all, pardon me, most legendary sports journalist in all of Atlanta, and that is Mark Bradley. And I asked him a question about, you know, how does this Braves run historically stack up against the other Braves teams that he's followed over his four decades here? And he gave us some really kind of interesting insight. We're going to replay that interview for you next. John Friggin for John Chuckery as we continue on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
From the Northern Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on what has turned into a rather interesting Thursday night, John Fricke with you as we discuss the breaking news out of the Atlanta Hawks and the kind of historical nature of what the Atlanta Braves have done as they head to Tampa for this series that opens tomorrow right ahead of the All-Star break. And I started thinking today, you know, who could I ask to come on the show who could put the Braves season into perspective? Somebody has to have a real depth of knowledge. And I said, well, who has a better depth of knowledge in Atlanta sports than Mark Bradley? I said, well, nobody. So, all right, well, let's ask Mark. And so I did, and he has been kind enough to join us. Mark Bradley, who almost, Mark, you're almost like legendary status. Don't you hate that? Because it means you're old, right?
I definitely have old status. That's about as far as I'm willing to go. I've been here a while. So, you know, I guess that beats the alternative. So, I came here in 84, and it was weird because the first, almost for a decade, the Falcons and Braves were like terrible at the same time. I went like 14 consecutive Falcons Braves seasons before either of them had a winning record. And then the Braves got really good and stayed really good, pretty much. It's looking back on it, it's like I've been here since 84, and then since 91, we have seen the Braves win their division 20 times. So, you know, it's not like they've never been good before, and very good. I mean, there were. Many of those years, they were either the best or right there among the best teams in baseball. And you know, they probably should have won a couple more or more than a couple more World Series than they did. But they've been really, really good for a really long time. And that's sort of the lead in for me saying, I don't know if they've ever been as good as they are right now. They pitch better than this. I mean, their pitching in the 90s was as good as any teams has ever been, ever. But this hitting is pretty good. And sometimes you think, what would a team look like if it had an all-star at every position? Well, this team's not far from that.
Well, I think they actually do because, if not for, a slow start, I think what we've seen from Michael Harris, he's all-star caliber. He's rookie of the year for a reason. And, boy, Eddie Rosario's played at an all-star level. So, yeah, it's pretty much every position here. I mean, you got all-stars on the bench that can't even get into the game, like Travis d'Arnaud, for crying out loud.
Right.
This is something special, right? And historically, and you and I, you'll forgive me for a moment. I'm speaking to the audience, Mark. A couple of old heads here who've been around a long time, Mark and I.
Right.
Because we both go way back. And you mentioned 84, and you come into a city where at the height of the city, at the top was the Atlanta Hawks and Dominique, the beginning of the Dominique run, and, of course, Georgia Tech basketball. And all those great Bobby Kremins teams. And the Braves and the Hawks, Braves and the Falcons, as you said, were struggling along here. So when the Braves did catch fire in the 90s, you said, okay, they had something special. But once that was gone, you're saying they can't rekindle it again. They did. And then not only did they rekindle it again, they did it twice. And the second time out, now, Mark, I think we are very fortunate in our lives to have been witness to the things that you and I have been witness to. I'm asking you, can you impart to these young fans to enjoy the fact that they are witness to something historical?
You know, it's weird because the reaction back in when those non-glory days of the 80s basically was nobody cared about the Braves. I mean, the Glavine had the famous description of his early years with the Braves, where he said, it's 95 degrees in the middle of the summer, and you're 25 games out of first place, and there's 5,000 people in the stands. And that's what it was. And then in 91, all of a sudden, that everybody fell in love with the Braves. And, that kept up over a while. They kept up because the Braves kept winning. And then it was kind of like the Braves went so long winning that people kind of assumed they couldn't do anything else. Don Waddell, when he was the general manager of the Thrashers, said the Braves just won too much. They spoiled everybody, and they did. We kind of felt like as a city and as a fan base that this is just something a normal team did. Well, you know, winning 14 consecutive division titles is not the sort of thing any team had ever done. And I think that we just got spoiled because they won and they won and they won. And then we got kind of hung up on the World Series thing, the only one World Series thing. But yeah, I mean, we've seen, you know, apart from a little bit of a downtime at the end of the first decade of this century, like the 2006 to 2009 years, and then the sort of designed reset from 2015 through 2017. I mean, this team has been playing for division titles and playing for the postseason and playing for the World Series for most of the last 30 years. And that's, that's something that not many teams could say. Maybe the Yankees can say that, and maybe the Dodgers can say that, but that's about it. There really aren't very many. We have been lucky to see something like this. Yes, we have, because this has been really good baseball for a really long time, most of it. And I think that this could be, you never know. I mean, the world could change tomorrow, but I don't see any way that this team isn't going to be in the playoffs. And and we all talk about it being a crapshoot and that good pitching can stop good hitting. But on the other hand, the Braves pitch about as well as anybody too. And if they get Max Fried back, they're going to be pretty tough to handle in October.
Mark Bradley of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the longtime near 40-year columnist who has seen pretty much everything in Atlanta sports in those four decades here. Mark, I go back over the course of time. I got a question I'm going to be talking to the fans about on Sunday, and I'm going to ask you this question. For anybody that's been around at least a minute, who has seen Atlanta sports, if you think about the teams that you've covered, whether it was the Kremens Yellow Jackets or the Yellow Jackets that made the run to the championship game with Jarrett Jack, or Herschel Walker, or the championship run of Georgia now, the Braves of 2 years ago, or the Braves of the 90s, the Super Bowl Falcons team, the 60-win Hawks, the Atlanta United Cup run, is there one and that stands out as the most fun? Because of all those things that I watched, and I saw them all too, I think this is about the most fun I've ever had.
Yeah, the summer of 91, I don't think there will ever be another summer like that, because that was just like basically everybody in Atlanta that had stopped paying attention or never paid attention to the Braves went crazy about the Braves from like August through October. And, we went from not knowing how to get to Fulton County Stadium to being in traffic jams where everybody had the foam tomahawk mounted in the back window of the car. And I think that year, even the Braves people, even those around the team and the players then will say, we won it all in 95 and we definitely had better teams than we had in 91. But 91 was the year that we'll remember forever. And I would say that's probably true, because I don't know that many teams have ever taken over a city the way the Braves did that year, and I know that nobody has ever taken on Atlanta the way the Braves did. But the 2021 World Series to me was just like, I had more fun with that probably than I'd ever had before, because I'd seen them win a World Series before, but I'd never seen them that one kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, this was a team that couldn't get above 500 until like middle of August. And then all of a sudden they get in the World Series and they're like the greatest team anybody's ever seen. Guys who weren't even Braves in July were all of a sudden civic heroes, Jock Peterson and Eddie Rosario, and then Jorge Soler. I mean, they were all deadline pickups, and it's like, who are these guys? And yet I didn't really think going into the postseason, you know, I remember going to Milwaukee for the first round and I thought, I could see the Braves winning this round, but they're not going to get by the Dodgers. And then all of a sudden you look up and they're up 2-0 on the Dodgers and you think, well, maybe they can get by the Dodgers. And I asked Brian Snitker back then, I said, when did you really start that this team might really start thinking that this team might do something? And more than just make the playoffs. And he said, probably after game two against the Dodgers, because from then on, it was just like, it was just like one wonder after another. You know, they beat the Dodgers. They go to Houston. They win the first game there. They come here and they win game three, and then they're down all game four. And all of a sudden, Swanson hits a home run and Soler hits a home run. And you're looking at clinching the World Series the next night. And they didn't. They blew a lead and they had to go back to Houston. But then, you know, they go to Houston and the Astros don't score, and Soler hits a ball, 400 miles, and they're the world champs. I mean, that was pretty neat. And, you know, other stuff has been neat, too. I mean, the Georgia Tech team that went to the championship game could have lost. They could have gone 0-5 in their first five games of that NCAA tournament. Every one of them came down to the last possession, and yet all of a sudden you look up and they're playing on Monday night for the championship. The Falcons run. The Falcons run in 98 or in the Falcons run to 28-3 was pretty great, right up to the point mm-hmm. where it was 28-3.
Yeah. Well. Okay. There's that. I have about 2 minutes left. I have you on the phone here, Mark, I do want to just get your quick thoughts, if you can, about DeJounte Murray and the news that he got a 4-year, $120 million deal. Do you think the Atlanta Hawks have anything else planned here, or are they just going to kind of ride this out this year with Quinn Snyder and come see what may?
I think that could. He obviously had time to evaluate the team. And in the games after he took over, so I think he kind of had to have a feeling about what he wanted and what he didn't want, and I think that I'm a little surprised that they re-upped Murray for so much. I'm a little surprised they re-upped him at all, because that we kept getting mixed signals about whether or not the Murray Young pairing was working or not working, but obviously they're very talented guys, and now it's pretty clear that's going to be the strength of the team going forward. And I don't know if they're gonna do a Capella trade. I think they've got a lot of good players on this team. It's just I think it's mostly a matter of mesh. And I think that this move says to me that Snyder seems to feel he can make a mesh out of not a mess, but a mesh out of Murray and Trey Young.
Mark, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate your taking some time on a late at night here to join us and talk a little bit about kind of the historical nature of the Braves, and we'll see more about the Hawks. Mark Bradley, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
One of the true legends of Atlanta sports media, Mark Bradley of the AJC. Another growing legend is that of Jason Longshore. And there's big news in soccer about a massive rule change that could forever alter the game. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 90 Time, the game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back to the program here with John Fricke for John Chuckery tonight. Jason Longshore has been kind enough to jump into the program, talk to us a little bit about what's going on with Atlanta United and this major, potentially major news about soccer, and not the World Cup yet, about the change to the game. Jason, how you doing, bub?
What's going on, John? How are you?
I'm doing fine. Let's begin there, Jason, if we may.
Okay.
There's a club, for those of you who don't know much about soccer, you may know that the English Premier League is the number one league in the world, and there is a major club called Arsenal that goes by the nickname Gunners, and the big boss of Arsenal has been pushing for a massive rule change, and FIFA has said yes, and that rule change is an offsides change that they're going to try out in, like, Norway and Finland, I think, and they'll see what happens, and they could institute it next year. And, Jason, if they change this and allow players to get more forward of the defense, this potentially could really open up the game.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. And part of it ties into having video replay involved in the game now. And, you know, think back to the NFL when they added replay and how, like, you'd see these little changes in the game kind of on a yearly basis as we all caught up to having calls be 100% correct. When you go back to offside and when I was playing as a kid and what it was like then, what it was like honestly like a decade ago, there was kind of this unwritten idea that if it was close, you gave it to the attacker. You gave the attacker the benefit of the doubt. That was the unwritten rule. Well, when you have replay and when you get to the level of technology that the Premier League uses as opposed to like MLS where you just have the replay and you can, you know, freeze frame it and look at it, but you don't have the Hawkeye technology that's actually drawing lines and it's all mapped out and it's a bigger level of technology than I can imagine and explain well, but it gets it down to as exact as you can possibly be. It's like tennis where you can see where the ball is going to land, that kind of thing. So when you go away from the idea of if it's close, you give it to the attacker and you can actually see the level of detail, you're starting to take away what was accepted before. So now with changing the rule to change where the line is, because that's what this is. Basically the idea now, the idea currently is that if any part of your body that can play the ball legally, so your hand doesn't count here, but if any part of your body that can play the ball legally is offside, then you're offside. Well, it'll flip with this tweak, and we'll see how it goes in the league. They're going to test it, where if any part of your body is onside, then you're good. So you basically get a body length is what it's going to come down to. Defenses will adjust. I think you'll see a little bit of a boost in goal-scoring opportunities in the short term. You'll see a lot of arguments and people getting frustrated and the game's gone and all the usual conversations whenever there's a change. But I think it'll be something that gets us honestly back to where the idea was, the spirit of the rule was before we could see it so closely with replay.
And ahead of the 2026 World Cup. Okay, that's interesting. I want to go to that card here for just a moment. The U.S. men's national team has been playing in CONCACAF in the Gold Cup, and they've been playing St. Kitts and Nevis, and they've been playing Trinidad and Tobago with essentially, I think it's fair to say, their second unit. I am blowing them off the field. Recently, there was the rankings of the top 100 players, top 10 players at every position that FIFA released, and there were no Americans on the list. I'm kind of trying to figure out here as we go towards the 2026 Cup and we get ready for, you know, additional qualifying here, where do you kind of view the United States in terms of where this team is? Now you have, you know, a new star that's, you know, spurned his other country to come here and might be actually our best player now, ahead of Pulisic. So you have a team that seems to me to have quite a bit of talent that's been playing together. Are they really a top 10 team in the world?
I think it's borderline. I think when you get past the top 3-4, and typically when you get into a World Cup, you know, you'll have 3 or 4 favorites. One of those usually has a bad tournament, might have had an injury, something happens, whatever, they fall out. You have a miracle run from way out that's a surprise that gets into the top 8. And then the rest of the, like, 5 through 20 is really down to form, in my opinion. I think what the U.S. might lack in terms of top world-class players at a lot of different positions, they have a good core. They have a lot of sevens. They don't have a lot of, like, nines and tens, but they've got a lot of sevens. And that's a good group to build around. What I'm fascinated to see is next summer in the Copa America, where that's going to be their biggest test. And it's going to be played in the U.S., but it will be all the South American countries and 6 CONCACAF teams. The U.S. has to qualify through the Nations League. They will. Mexico will. The major CONCACAF teams will. But that'll be the real test to see where they are. And they're going to face maybe an Argentina, a Brazil, you know, an Uruguay, some of the top teams in this hemisphere. And until we see that, I think it's a little hard to judge. I do like the signing. It's almost like we're talking about college football recruiting when you get into the dual nationals. But Balogun committing to the U.S. gives them, I think, the level of forward that they've lacked. Pulisic is a very good player. Gio Reyna, if he can stay healthy, can be a very good player. Goalkeeper is very good with Matt Turner. You've got really good defenders at center back, and Miles Robinson's part of that conversation. Balogun gives you a guy who you might not be outplaying a team, but you get that half chance inside the 18, and he can score. And that's something that the U.S. has honestly lacked for as long as I can remember.
Talking with Jason Longshore as we get ready for, because really we have to start turning the page here. I mean, we're in the middle of summer of 2023, and 2026 isn't far away. And in front of that, of course, we're going to have the U.S. Women's National Team try and make it 3 in a row. Are they just heads and tails above everybody still, the U.S.?
No, I don't think so, actually. I think this World Cup is really interesting. Last time out, 4 years ago, I thought England outplayed the U.S. in the semifinal. The U.S. got it done, advanced. They played a Netherlands team that was probably a cycle ahead of where I thought they would be. They're really talented, but they hadn't been in those kinds of games before. And I think the difference that you saw with the U.S. in 19 was you had so many veterans in that team that had been part of the 2015 championship team, that had played in major games, that had just, the pressure didn't get to them, where maybe it did get to England. It definitely got to the Netherlands in the final. This is a much younger U.S. team. You know, a lot, there's still a couple of those players, like Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, who are still there in this group. But there's a lot of young talent, which is great, but they haven't been tested in some of these moments. And the level around the world continues to rise. I think Spain is a team to watch. I think Germany is a team to watch. England, obviously, will be a team to watch, the defending European champions. Brazil, in Marta's last tournament, they're going to be a team to watch. I think it's the most open Women's World Cup that we've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's interesting to talk to Jason Longshore, and we've been on for a number of minutes and haven't mentioned Atlanta United, because there's other stuff on the world stage to start talking about, because we have to start thinking again in terms of the world, because the world is coming to us, and it will be here before you know it. Do we know yet, Jason, when FIFA will make the announcements about what group Atlanta is going to get, and will it get a semifinal, where the title game will be played, media center? When are they expected to make all those announcements?
We won't know the group stuff until much later, but knowing if Atlanta gets a semifinal, where the media center will be, you know, outside of group game, how many group games, I think, is a question with the format change with groups of 4 as opposed to groups of 3. I don't know. I think it's probably something they'd like to have that framework done by the end of the year or early in 24, so you can start to map things out. But there's a lot of things to juggle, and the biggest one is that change in the format of the tournament. You know, going to 48 teams is a good thing. It's an exciting thing. It's the biggest World Cup that's ever been played. But they were originally going to do 3-team groups, which I hated the idea, because you lost that last day of the group round that we saw in this last tournament that was so amazing, with the standings going up and down every goal in 2 games being played at the same time. So they made that change. It's going to be groups of 4. That's much better. But now you're going to have more games to play. So you've got to divvy these up more and figure out how you're going to put groups maybe in regional pods and look at that, because you don't want to have teams travel across the country between group games. But if you go between Atlanta and Miami, then that's a little more reasonable.
All right, final moments here. Let's do touch on Atlanta United, still basking in that superb performance in the clean sheet win against Philadelphia Union. We've seen a lot of ups and downs this year from this team. They are still in the thick of the chase, but now is the time that they've really got to kind of put it together. They got to start stringing a 2, 3, 4 wins together here, I would think, if they want to make top four in the East here. How do you view kind of the short term of Atlanta United, the health of the team? When do we expect to get players back and things of that nature?
I think it's still with where I said things were in the pregame before the Philadelphia game. They've got to show that they can win games consistently 1-0. We know they can score goals. So they're one of the highest scoring teams in the league this season, even with Yorgos Giakoumakis dealing with hamstring issues, and he's week to week right now. I don't expect him to play on Saturday. Then the New England game on Wednesday is a quick turn and a very difficult trip for somebody dealing with a muscle injury. I think you're looking at Orlando for him to come back. But even without him, this is a team that can score goals. But they've got to defend like they did against Philadelphia. They've got to be able to get clean sheets. They've got to just be grittier in the defensive third. Block shots, block passes, block crosses, get stuck into tackles, make plays. And it's down to individual duels in the defensive third. They've got to be better in those moments. If they can do that, and with the goal scoring that they have, they can be a top four team in the East for sure. But the Eastern Conference is as good as I've ever seen it. It's better than the West this year. You look at the overall table in MLS, and you know it's out of the top 10, 7 are in the East. It's very difficult to pick up points. And Atlanta's got to, when they go on the road, a game in Montreal against a team that's been really good at home this season in Montreal, but is not at full strength right now. Two players away to the Gold Cup, but also four players injured. They might get one or two of them back to the bench, maybe this weekend, but probably not to start. You have to take advantage of those kinds of road games, and you have to start picking up 3 points here and there on the road. Not going to win every game on the road in this league. It's not going to happen. But you've got to take advantage of a game like this one where a team is not at full strength. They're coming off of a loss at home. Got to go in there and keep them at zero on the board and get that goal or two that I think this team is good for in almost every game.
As always, Jason, I really appreciate your taking a few minutes. We look forward to the game. Have a great trip, and let's get a few W's. Thanks much.
Anytime you need me, you know you got me.
Jason Longshore, of course, color analyst for Atlanta United and soccer expert. Well, Day-Day, thank you very much, and to all of you who called in, it was a spirited discussion on a Thursday night. We'll follow it, see if there's anything more coming out of the Atlanta Hawks camp as the Braves go down to Tampa to open that series coming up tomorrow in Tampa. All right, stand by. Going to be a fun evening. JR's coming up after the top of the hour, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, 7 to 11, on Sports Radio 90 on The Game and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at Autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to the program here with John Fricke for John Chuckery tonight. Jason Longshore has been kind enough to jump into the program, talk to us a little bit about what's going on with Atlanta United and this major, potentially major news about soccer, and not the World Cup yet, about the change to the game. Jason, how you doing, bub?
What's going on, John? How are you?
I'm doing fine. Let's begin there, Jason, if we may.
Okay.
There's a club, for those of you who don't know much about soccer, you may know that the British League, the English Premier League is the number one league in the world. And there is a major club called Arsenal that goes by the nickname Gunners. And the big boss of Arsenal has been pushing for a massive rule change, and FIFA has said yes. And that rule change is an offsides change that they're going to try out in, like, Norway and Finland, I think, and they'll see what happens. And they could institute it next year. And, Jason, if they change this and allow players to get more forward of the defense, this potentially could really open up the game.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. And part of it ties into having video replay involved in the game now. And, you know, think back to the NFL when they added replay and how, like, you'd see these little changes in the game kind of on a yearly basis as we all caught up to having calls be 100% correct. When you go back to offside and when I was playing as a kid and what it was like then, what it was like, honestly, like a decade ago, there was kind of this unwritten idea that if it was close, you gave it to the attacker. You gave the attacker the benefit of the doubt. That was the unwritten rule. Well, when you have replay and when you get to the level of technology that the Premier League uses as opposed to like MLS where you just have the replay and you can, you know, freeze frame it and look at it, but you don't have the Hawkeye technology that's actually drawing lines and it's all mapped out and it's a bigger level of technology than I can imagine and explain well, but it gets it down to as exact as you can possibly be. It's like tennis where you can see where the ball's going to land, that kind of thing. So when you go away from the idea of if it's close, you give it to the attacker and you can actually see the level of detail, you're starting to take away what was accepted before. So now with changing the rule to change where the line is, because that's what this is. Basically the idea now, the idea currently is that if any part of your body that can play the ball legally, so your hand doesn't count here, but if any part of your body that can play the ball legally is offside, then you're offside. Well, it'll flip with this tweak, and we'll see how it goes in the league. They're going to test it, where if any part of your body is onside, then you're good. So you basically get a body length is what it's going to come down to. Defenses will adjust. I think you'll see a little bit of a boost in goal-scoring opportunities in the short term. You'll see a lot of arguments and people getting frustrated and the game's gone and all the usual conversations whenever there's a change. But I think it'll be something that gets us, honestly, back to where the idea was, the spirit of the rule was, before we could see it so closely with replay.
And ahead of the 2026 World Cup. Okay. That's interesting. I want to go to that card here for just a moment. The U.S. men's national team has been playing in CONCACAF in the Gold Cup. And they've been playing St. Kitts and Nevis, and they've been playing Trinidad and Tobago with essentially, I think it's fair to say, their second unit. I am blowing them off the field. Recently, there was the rankings of the top 100 players, top 10 players at every position that FIFA released, and there were no Americans on the list. I'm kind of trying to figure out here as we go towards the 2026 Cup and we get ready for, you know, additional qualifying here, where do you kind of view the United States in terms of where this team is? Now you have, you know, a new star that's, you know, spurned his other country to come here and might be actually our best player now, ahead of Pulisic. So you have a team that seems to me to have quite a bit of talent that's been playing together. Are they really a top 10 team in the world?
I think it's borderline. I think when you get past the top 3-4, and typically when you get into a World Cup, you know, you'll have 3 or 4 favorites. One of those usually has a bad tournament, might have had an injury, something happens, whatever, they fall out. You have a miracle run from way out that's a surprise that gets into the top 8. And then the rest of the, like, 5 through 20 is really down to form, in my opinion. I think what the U.S. might lack in terms of top world-class players at a lot of different positions, they have a good core. They have a lot of sevens. They don't have a lot of like nines and tens, but they've got a lot of sevens. And that's a good group to build around. What I'm fascinated to see is next summer in the Copa America, where that's going to be their biggest test. And it's going to be played in the U.S., but it will be all the South American countries and 6 CONCACAF teams. The U.S. has to qualify through the Nations League. They will. Mexico will. The major CONCACAF teams will. But that'll be the real test to see where they are. And they're going to face maybe an Argentina, a Brazil, you know, an Uruguay, some of the top teams in this hemisphere. And until we see that, I think it's a little hard to judge. I do like the signing. It's almost like we're talking about college football recruiting when you get into the dual nationals, but Balogun committing to the U.S. gives them, I think, the level of forward that they've lacked. Pulisic is a very good player. Gio Reyna, if he can stay healthy, can be a very good player. Goalkeeper is very good with Matt Turner. You've got really good defenders at center back, and Miles Robinson's part of that conversation. Balogun gives you a guy who you might not be outplaying a team, but you get that half chance inside the 18, and he can score. And that's something that the U.S. has honestly lacked for as long as I can remember.
Talking with Jason Longshore as we get ready for, because really we have to start turning the page here. I mean, we're in the middle of summer of 2023, and 2026 isn't far away. And in front of that, of course, we're going to have the U.S. women's national team try and make it 3 in a row. Are they just heads and tails above everybody still, the U.S.?
No, I don't think so, actually. I think this World Cup is really interesting. Last time out, 4 years ago, I thought England outplayed the U.S. in the semifinal. The U.S. got it done, advanced. They played a Netherlands team that was probably a cycle ahead of where I thought they would be. They're really talented, but they hadn't been in those kinds of games before. And I think the difference that you saw with the U.S. in 19 was you had so many veterans in that team that had been part of the 2015 championship team, that had played in major games, that had just, the pressure didn't get to them, where maybe it did get to England. It definitely got to the Netherlands in the final. this is a much younger U.S. team. You know, a lot, there's still a couple of those players like Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, who are still there in this group, but there's a lot of young talent, which is great, but they haven't been tested in some of these moments. And the level around the world continues to rise. I think Spain is a team to watch. I think Germany is a team to watch. England obviously will be a team to watch, the defending European champions. Brazil in Marta's last tournament, they're going to be a team to watch. I think it's the most open Women's World Cup that we've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's interesting to talk to Jason Longshore, and we've been on for a number of minutes and haven't mentioned Atlanta United because there's other stuff on the world stage to start talking about, because we have to start thinking again in terms of the world, because the world is coming to us and it will be here before you know it. Do we know yet, Jason, when FIFA will make the announcements about the, you know, what group Atlanta is going to get, and will it get a semifinal, where the title game will be played, media center? When are they expected to make all those announcements?
We won't know the group stuff until much later, but knowing if Atlanta gets a semifinal, where the media center will be, you know, outside of group game, how many group games, I think, is a question with the format change with groups of four as opposed to groups of three. I don't know. I think it's probably something they'd like to have that framework done by the end of the year or early in 24, so you can start to map things out. But there's a lot of things to juggle, and the biggest one is that change in the format of the tournament. You know, going to 48 teams is a good thing. It's an exciting thing. It's the biggest World Cup that's ever been played. But they were originally going to do three-team groups, which I hated the idea, because you lost that last day of the group round that we saw in this last tournament that was so amazing, with the standings going up and down, every goal in two games being played at the same time. So they made that change. It's going to be groups of four. That's much better. But now you're going to have more games to play. So you've got to divvy these up more and figure out how you're going to put groups maybe in regional pods and look at that, because you don't want to have teams travel across the country between group games. But if you go between Atlanta and Miami, then that's a little more reasonable.
All right, final moments here. Let's do touch on Atlanta United, still basking in that superb performance in the clean sheet win against Philadelphia Union. We've seen a lot of ups and downs this year from this team. They are still in the thick of the chase, but now is the time that they've really got to kind of put it together. They got to start stringing a 2, 3, 4 wins together here, I would think, if they want to make top four in the East here. How do you view kind of the short term of Atlanta United, the health of the team? When do we expect to get players back and things of that nature?
I think it's still with where I said things were in the pregame before the Philadelphia game. They've got to show that they can win games consistently 1-0. We know they can score goals. So they're one of the highest scoring teams in the league this season, even with Yorgos Giakoumakis dealing with hamstring issues, and he's week to week right now. I don't expect him to play on Saturday. Then the New England game on Wednesday is a quick turn and a very difficult trip for somebody dealing with a muscle injury. I think you're looking at Orlando for him to come back. But even without him, this is a team that can score goals. But they've got to defend like they did against Philadelphia. They've got to be able to get clean sheets. They've got to just be grittier in the defensive third. Block shots, block passes, block crosses, get stuck into tackles, make plays. And it's down to individual duels in the defensive third. They've got to be better in those moments. If they can do that, and with the goal scoring that they have, they can be a top four team in the East for sure. But the Eastern Conference is as good as I've ever seen it. It's better than the West this year. You look at the overall table in MLS, and, you know, it's out of the top 10, 7 are in the East. It's very difficult to pick up points. And Atlanta's got to, when they go on the road, a game in Montreal against a team that's been really good at home this season in Montreal, but is not at full strength right now. Two players away to the Gold Cup, but also four players injured. They might get one or two of them back to the bench, maybe this weekend, but probably not to start. You have to take advantage of those kinds of road games, and you have to start picking up 3 points here and there on the road. Not going to win every game on the road in this league. It's not going to happen. But you've got to take advantage of a game like this one where a team is not at full strength. They're coming off of a loss at home. Got to go in there and keep them at zero on the board and get that goal or two that I think this team is good for in almost every game.
As always, Jason, I really appreciate your taking a few minutes. We look forward to the game. Have a great trip, and let's get a few W's. Thanks much.
Anytime you need me, you know you got me.
Jason Longshore, of course, color analyst for Atlanta United and soccer expert. Well, Day-Day, thank you very much. And to all of you who called in, it was a spirited discussion on a Thursday night. We'll follow it, see if there's anything more coming out of the Atlanta Hawks camp as the Braves go down to Tampa to open that series coming up tomorrow in Tampa. All right, stand by. Going to be a fun evening. JR's coming up after the top of the hour, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, 7 to 11, on Sports Radio 92 on The Game and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.